Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Fact, Fiction, or Bullshit. Or for all my new listeners out there, the FFB podcast for short. Hi, my name is PJ, and every episode we'll delve into the unknown to look at the history, the facts, the theories, and the conspiracies, then ultimately decide fact, fiction, or bullshit. Hello, and welcome back to another one of my own creepypasta stories. It's weird for me that I can just be sitting in my living room when an idea of a story will just pop straight into my head. As you ladies, gents and people are aware, anything paranormal and I'm interested in it straight away. And with this story, it's no different. Although I believe in ghosts, I'm still a bit of a realist, if you know what I mean. I can't believe unless I see it myself. A story that I heard growing up that I've not shared with anyone has got me started on this story we're about to go on. What would happen if loved ones long since passed could still connect with you? That would be something, right? People are taken too soon, too young, or have done that much good in the world that they did not deserve to go. You find yourself asking the question, why them? And that's common. And normally that saying passes through everyone's lips. When I was growing up, I remember my granddad on my mum's side. He was tiny, yet happy. Polite, yet trustworthy, so hard-working, everything you could ever wish for in a granddad. He fought in World War II, and even though I only knew him for probably 2.5 years of my infant life, I can say quite possibly he was my hero. Fearless, but not a bully, and if anyone was ever in need of any help at all, he was there. He survived the whole of World War II and made it home, only to be knocked off his bicycle and then to pass several months later. I was really too young to know what had happened properly. I only knew that my best friend had gone. He was the man that in my eyes could do no wrong. My mum told me off and he was like, Polly, leave him alone, he's a good boy. For me, seeing him in his allotment in the back of our garden in North London inspired me. A man that had values and that was always willing to help, yet gone too soon. This hurt me, and to be honest, it still does now. I would have loved for my two brothers and sister to have met him. God, he would have loved them all. I know that he's up there right now with my nan looking down on us. And to be honest, this is a hard one for me to do today as I adored this man. But this leads me onto a story that my mum told me. My nan lived in a council house and the kitchen needed renovating. Upon its completion, my mum was sat in there with her. And my nan then popped out and I remember my mum saying to me that it all went cold in the room. And that's when she smelt something and she'd not smelt this since her dad was there. And that was a smell of Brill cream. That's a sort of hair product for you out there that don't know. They still do it to this day, but from back in the day, it smelt different, unique in a way. My mum felt at ease straight away, as she thought it was his way of saying, I still look after you. I don't know whether I believe in ghosts, the supernatural, or whatever. But what I would like to believe is I still have loved ones from above looking out for me. And this now leads me on to my creepypasta story. It was a normal Saturday for me in RB. I'd woke up after she'd gone to work, and as per usual, I was still laying in bed when I should have been up doing the housework. That was until I got a text from RB saying that she was on her lunch break. She asked me how I was doing. It's then that I realised that she would be home sooner rather than later. Me and RB had been working our whole lives. We'd battled through many different ups and downs. We had gone through many struggles, but yet we still had survived. As you people out there know, life is tough. But for me and RB, it looked like we might have moved past that. Maybe we have made it. We'd both dropped our working hours, and I was only doing 4 days a week. It was something we'd always planned to do, but circumstances changed, so we just went for it. It was Saturday afternoon, and RB had just finished work at our now new early time and come home. She showered and come downstairs and was like, do you fancy going for a walk? Yeah, why not, I said. We took our normal walk, two roads down, through a little alleyway, all the way to the seafront. In my eyes, it was beautiful. But, being England, it was blowing a gale and pissing down of rain. God, I loved it. But RB did not. We spent a grand total of 4 minutes before RB said that she wanted to leave. Even though I was happy where I was, I still agreed. We got back home, the light come in, and the rain just seemed to get heavier and heavier. What was 3 o'clock in the afternoon now looked like 9 at night. We ordered pizza and put one of several films on. I know that RB was not crazy on films, but she knew I loved them, so she just went with the flow. Once RB had eaten, she fell asleep straight on my shoulder. Even when I finished my beer, I didn't even want to move as she looked so peaceful. So much so that I waited until the end of the film. Now the film had finished, I gently tapped her on the shoulder, and she looked at me as to say, fuck off, I'm sleeping. I was like, the film's over, it's time to go up. Need to pee first, she replied. She went into the downstairs toilet and closed the door, and that's when I see it. Someone, or shall I say something, walked straight past my living room door in a bright yellow jacket. It was 6 foot tall at least and proceeded to walk upstairs to the bedrooms. I could even hear the sounds of the feet as I heard them pound up the stairs. Obby then comes out of the toilet and says, are you coming upstairs or what? I was like, are you serious? Did you not just hear that? I wanted to tell her what I'd just seen, but I realised how crazy that would make me look. So I proceeded with, did you hear the noise? She kissed me on the head and said, maybe no horror films next time, okay? It's not up until this point that I realised the sweat was pouring off me. I laughed jokingly and said, okay. She looked at me and asked, you good, dear? I replied, maybe you're right. Let's go up. I went up first just in case what I see was real and to protect RB. But when I got upstairs, nothing was there. I woke the next morning in a way I did not expect. I was dreaming. Thing was, I knew I was dreaming, but I also had the feeling that I was still awake too. I heard RB in the background, so I assumed I could just wake up whenever I felt like it. But that was the problem. I could not. In my dream, I see a great big massive shadow in a bright yellow jacket going up my stairs. I followed it, and it's when I got to the top of the stairs that it hit me. The bat that the shadow had been carrying. As it hit me, I opened my eyes and RB was standing over me. I screamed. What are you doing standing over me, I asked. You were screaming for help, RB replied. I just want to make sure you were okay. I came to help. And at this moment, I felt ashamed. That's all RB ever seemed to do, and that was help me and look after me. That's all she ever did, and to be honest, I felt lucky. Lucky that she looked after a person like me. God, where would I be without her? Probably still in my parents' bedroom playing my computer like a hermit. It was several years later that my life finally caught up with me. The life of work hard and play harder caught up with me. The thought of live for today because tomorrow don't matter finally caught. Me and RB always had this plan that we would stop work early. Reduce our hours so we could spend more time together. And we had that for those several years before life caught up with me and I passed away. I passed onto the other side. To be honest, I did not know what was happening. Bright light, bright green trees, a happy sun. I was floating through the skies. I was floating, but still moving. I could see shadows beneath me, but could not make out what they were. I was moving faster and faster, and everything was a blur. I was thinking, would this ever stop? And that's when it did. I went from what felt like 200 miles an hour to zero in a second. And that's when I see him. My granddad, waiting at what seemed like his back gate in North London in the garden I grew up in. He was on the inside and me the out with the gate locked closed. I went up to him. Is this it? I asked. Is this it? He replied. Yes. But for you, not yet. What do you mean? I replied. You're needed, he went. Just like your mum needed me to reassure her, RB now needs you. What do you mean? She's in danger. Danger? I asked. Yes, he replied. The ghost, or should I say the shadow in a bright yellow jacket, is after her. I looked at him to say, are you serious? Very much so, Stephen. Or should I say PJ? So you have been looking out for me. How did he know my nickname? I only got this name in my early 20s, and this was long after he passed away. I, or should I say me and your nan, have always been looking out for you. Nan, I say. And before I ask the question, he laughs and says, yeah, she's great and she looks forward to seeing you. But that is going to have to wait as he wants to see you both. Both? I asked. Yes, you and RB. But she's still alive, I say. Does that mean, and yet again, before I finish, he was already giving me the answer? Well, we will pass eventually, but for you it's going to work different. Sort of like a guardian angel, I say. Exactly. I was in stunned shock, and this just made him laugh. No more questions then? I went to say something else, and before something came out, he said, don't worry, you'll get all your answers soon. Now go, get back to your island, you're needed. But how can I do anything, I asked. Will RB be able to see me? He smiled, and he said, you'll figure it out. It was just then that I started to float, but instead of going forwards, I was going backwards, away from the gate. Before I knew it, I was back in our house, standing in our living room. I could see RB sitting on the sofa with her head in her hands. She was crying. I tried to call out, but she could not hear me. She then looked up, but the thing was, she looked older. How long have I been gone for, I thought. And that's when I heard it, the banging coming from upstairs. She shouted, "Why don't you just leave me alone and go away?" It's then that I heard the banging approach the top of the stairs and come down. It's then that I see the same shadow walk past, laughing an evil laugh before passing through the front door. I looked at RB and she was in bits. This is why I'm needed, I guess. I sat next to RB on the sofa. It felt weird sitting on my sofa in a ghostly form. I tried putting my arm around her, but it just fell through. "You idiot," I thought. I then whispered to her, "Don't worry, RB, when he comes back, I'm going to protect you." It was then that I see her sobbing and stopped, and I see that smile come across her face.
"Is that you?"
"It is," I replied. "This stops now, I promise you."
"How comes it's taken you this long to come back? That thing has been here every day since you went."
"I guess heaven works in a different way in time," I say.
"Heaven?"
"Yeah, it's there, RB." And it was after that that I lost the ability to converse with RB. And she must have sensed it and just got ready for bed. She went up and I followed. She got into bed and went straight asleep. It was like the first time in ages that she knew she could get a decent night's sleep as she was being looked after. It's a strange feeling just waiting there as a ghost. Don't sleep, no food, no need for the toilet. I felt like a bit of a spare wheel. What was strange was that I had all the time in the world but could do nothing. I went back downstairs and just stood in our living room. And that's when I heard RB moving upstairs. I thought she might have needed the toilet, but she began to come downstairs. I was like, the demon's not here at the moment. She walked into the living room and turned the TV on and went to the Disney app. She toggled over to Star Wars and put it on. As she walked out the door back upstairs, she turned and said,
"Thank you."
I just smiled. It was the following day at 2 p.m. and she was sat on the sofa just staring at the clock. A worried but yet terrifying look on her face. I sit next to her again. "What's up?" I asked.
"It's this time every day."
And that's when the banging begins upstairs and I see a tear. "This is not right," I say. "I got this."
"Be careful."
"I'm a ghost," I say. "You're still caring for me even though I'm a ghost." I smile. She now looks shocked. I say, "Calm down, I'll sort this." And that's when she says,
"I can see you."
"Just so you know, I'm always going to be here to protect you, and that's a promise. However, you might not always be able to see me or speak to me." She nods as I think she kinda knows. I go to head out the door and upstairs to face this demon. As I reach the door, I turn and say, "Thank you for the Star Wars. You always knew it was my favourite."
"For some reason, I just knew you were here, and I know what you're like when you're bored."
I smiled and then turned and headed upstairs to where this banging was coming from. Once I'd gotten up the stairs, I could see this demon. He had bright red eyes and was just stamping all over the floor, laughing as he did it. "This stops now," I shout. He looks at me in a way of disbelief that I can see him in his true form and that he can see me. "You shall never set foot in this house again," I say. "I'll be here for as long as she needs me." He goes to grab me by the throat, but he then recoils in pain. It's at this point he realises that I am not of this world. I step forward and he retreats. He knows he has no way of defeating me. I step forward again and it lets out a chilling shriek before disappearing into the afterlife. I walk back downstairs and waiting for me at the living room door is RB. The first thing out of her mouth is,
"Are you okay? That shriek was something you would hear in a horror movie."
"I'm fine," I say, "and now you are too. That thing will bother you no more."
"Thank you."
And she goes to cuddle me. I thought she would fall straight through me, but I felt it to my amazement. I say to her, "I'm always going to be here to protect you, but I have a funny feeling that I won't be able to talk to you anymore or have you being able to see me."
"That's okay. Just to have you back with me one more day is enough. And knowing that you're always going to be here makes me happy."
When that last sentence ended, I disappeared into the mist. I stayed in the house for the rest of RB's days. It was funny watching my nieces and nephews all coming over and asking her, "Why have you got Star Wars on?" She would just smile, look at my spot on the sofa and say, "It puts me at ease." RB made it to the grand old age of 94 before being admitted to hospital and passing. And yes, I was there. The nurse came up to her when she was in her bed and asked, "Are you okay?" She told her not to be scared. RB looked at me and smiled. She said, "I'm not scared anymore," before passing. The next thing I know, me and her are flying through the sky, straight back to the gate with my granddad standing there. This time the gate is open. This time he says, "Now it's your time." This story was written, produced and narrated by me, PJ, also starring
me, RB,
And I just want to say thank you to RB for participating. It's not easy being on the podcast, but she passed with flying colours. Wow, now that was deep. Like I said before, I just get into my zone. Before I know it, I have a podcast. Not done one in a while, and when I got the idea for this, I just went for it. I just want to say thank you for all the continued support. It really does mean a lot. If you could follow the podcast too, that really does make a difference. And as always, if you like the podcast, share the podcast. And also remember, look after yourselves and each other. And until next time.